This week's show is sponsored by Whimsies by Wellness.
Humans show a strong sense of fairness. We tend to reject situations where we're getting a lot less than others, and even when we're getting a lot more than others. But do dogs act in the same way?
Studies with chimps found they have a strong sense of fairness, and they're even vengeful of chimps that try to unfairly keep food to themselves instead of sharing with the group.
Dogs are also social animals, and we know they can cooperate with each other and us. But do they feel injustice?
Is their ability to cooperate based on a fundamental sense of what's fair?
Will dogs only play with you if you play fair? Do dogs value honesty, or is there no honour amongst terriers? Welcome to the Dog Scholar.
Let's have a look at what happens in the brain when we experience an unfair situation. One study put human beings into pairs, and each of them was placed in a brain scanner. Both of them started with either being very rich or very poor, and each of them then received a bumper payday or just a few pounds, and they were asked to share how they felt about it. Now, this study then focused on the brain areas that were linked to reward processing and social behaviour. They found that if someone already had money, the activity in their brain suggested they found it more rewarding if someone poorer was given money rather than when they got money themselves. But if they didn't have money, the opposite was true. There was more brain activity when they got money than when it went to the rich person. Now, this contradicts the idea that getting more money always leads to happiness. And it shows that human brain reward circuits are very attuned to social fairness. Now, those brain areas have got more oxytocin receptors, which are involved in social bonding and trust. How do you react to unfairness, though? If
something... I have got a big bee in my bonnet about an unjust event. If something happens and it's unjust, I'm really struggle to get over it.
Do you reckon evolution could explain inequity inversion? I mean, we talked about chimps in the introduction, didn't we? And how they can actually be vengeful of other chimps that would, you know, take the food for themselves and not share it around the group. But when you think about it as a social animal, as a pack animal, essentially, as dogs are, then there is something about being able to share the resources, recognise where there's a disparity and make sure that those resources are distributed fairly and equally, meaning as a group, you are more likely to survive.
The communist canine.
Little red collars. Yeah.
The only kind of reference we can go off with that would be like pack animals living in social groups like wolves, and yeah. It's not like we bring down the prey and there's your bit, there's my bit. Oh, that's a bit bigger, you can have a bit more there. It's literally like, I eat first, come near it, you're getting it. Now you can go. And someone has the scraps, do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's as fair as the strongest member makes the choices, do you know what I mean?
Which, if you wanted to take fairness to its most fundamental level, would be the evolutionary perspective. Yeah. The strongest will survive, you know, the fittest will survive. So we might think, well, that's not fair. My dog over there, he's jumping in, he's eating his dinner, and now he's eating your dinner. Yeah. And you might think, you need to learn some manners. You need to learn to be fair, and you'll learn to be share or let them have theirs or whatever. Yeah. But on a natural, you know, fundamental level, that is just evolution that you're witnessing in action, and probably the same in people as well.
What about kids, though? When do kids start to perceive fairness? Because certainly as a young child, I can remember I think we can all relate to a time when we've seen a child that doesn't want to share its toys.
I think children are sort of like,
blessed with the naivety of not understanding how the world
Came parents and the rest of society to condition them in order to...
But is it that they always had a fundamental sense of fairness, but at that age, what's fair is my toy is mine. Mm. Fairness doesn't mean that I give you my toy. That's my toy, and it's not fair that I have to give it to you. Mm. So maybe it's the perception of equity that changes rather than a fundamental concept of fairness. But what about dogs? Well, I found a study that considered whether dogs preferred humans who were fair. Now, this study took 38 dogs, and they were a range of different breeds. Half of them were mixed breeds and half of them were pedigree. Of the pedigrees, some of them were categorised as independent working breeds, like Manchester Terriers and Jack Russells, who would go and like hunt a rat on their own independently. Or cooperative workers like collies and Labrador. So the collie would be working with a human to do its work. Each test dog was paired with a control dog, and they were told to sit by a trainer, and then they were given a reward. One trainer rewarded both dogs equally, but the other trainer either over or under rewarded the control dog in the eyeline of the test dog. Now, afterwards, the dogs were allowed to choose which one of the two trainers they wanted to approach. You might not be surprised to know that the dogs who were tested generally approached the trainer who over-rewarded them rather than the one that was fair to both dogs. They didn't show an aversion to unfairness if they were the ones that benefited. However, dogs that were bred for cooperative work, like your collies and your labs, tended to prefer the fair trainer. What we know from this study is that dogs are motivated by rewards rather than a sense of fairness. They're after the dopamine rush and they're definitely not making a moral judgment there. But for them, getting more is better than getting fair treatment. And frankly, I feel the same way about shoes.
That second bit, I'd like to know the, you know, like the details of that, because it's mad. Because from my experience, dogs will better the situation. If one dog goes to one person and gets one and then there's a mass amount of food, they'll go to where they last got that big. Ooh, you know what I mean? So to ignore the big pile and go to the other one would only make me think that maybe the dogs have more interaction with that specific person and wants to be in that space. It's difficult.
I mean, it was funny, isn't it? The dogs that were bred for cooperative work seem to generally have a... prefer the equity. Yeah. And I wonder whether evolution has bred that into them a little bit, because they are better at doing the kind of work that would need them to communicate with someone and respond based on the other person. So I don't know, perhaps genes play a role in that.
Yeah, well, you could try and bribe what you want out of my Labrador. He'll follow me everywhere for nothing. Do you know what I mean? So maybe who knows? You know, that's interesting. That. What do you think about that, Jay?
I sort of think, is that fairness or... you know, or could there be something else at play? I've got a thing playing through my head here that I'm actually going to do. And I'm going to take...
A Jamie experiment.
Yeah, a Jamie experiment. Another Jamie experiment. I've already done a similar sort of thing. So
an ex-Penrithman.
Sorry.
So let's say that the dog has got a concept in this situation of understanding quantity. You're getting more than me. So it's nothing to do with fairness. It just means that there's more than me there, and I consider that to be more. Well, I did a little setup in my own garden where I've talked about it before, I think, where a big bowl of food, medium bowl of food, small bowl of food, toss out a single piece of food. Go back to the dog. Okay, go on. Go and get what you want. Single piece of food. Was the last thing that was thrown is the thing that I'll go to. Yeah. No concept
absolutely,
of...
Okay.
And equally, if I then took the dog back and reset the experiment... I didn't see any signs of, well, that's a bit unfair. You didn't let me finish the big bowl of food, so I'm not going to cooperate with you. But that's a dog that's bred to work with people. But what I would think is what the thing that's inside of my head is what I'd like to do is take two dogs. They're brother and sister.
Yeah.
Both born and raised and trained by me. Same environment. Individuals, absolutely. Big handful of food. One piece of food. You can have that. You can have that little piece. You can have that. You can have that little piece. And see... whether the dog that's getting the one piece of food thinks, hang on, I'm going over to this side where lots of food is being given or where I'll just stay.
I bet my life he just take what they're given.
Yeah. So do I.
Yeah,
I
and you're also life. Working line Labradors as well. So, you know, you can't get a more cooperative breed.
You can't get a more hungry breed as well.
But, I doubt very much that one would think this is unfair or you're not being fair by giving me as much as you're giving to that. I don't think care.
My dogs, I don't think are even in the slightest bit bothered about fairness. I think they're food hungry.
Where you'd see a problem is maybe not with Jay's dogs, because he raises very, very well behaved dogs. But if you put dogs in the, you know, dogs that might, you know, compete for resource, you might do that same experiment with your hands either side of you and you'll see the same result. Now put your hands in front of you, and when that dog finishes that biscuit, there's probably going to be a squabble at this point.
Yeah, of course.
Do you see what I mean? Because there'll be a battle for resource.
Yeah.
So it's...
Which isn't necessarily... because it's unfair.
No, it's not. It's just I want to compete for a valuable resource. Yeah. That is interesting to me. I want it. I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I've ever seen a dog trying to do a fair exchange of treats for a toy.
Like when you're in juniors. Hey, swap us your bag of crisps for me banana.
Yeah. No, lad. No.
Go on.
It's a banana. Yeah. That's not worth a bag of crisps. Yeah.
Banana's healthier, my mum said. Well, why aren't you eating it then? Oh, I'm just thinking of you.
Yeah, it was altruism, selfless.
I think there's a lot of stuff again where people could think, oh, you know, they're being unfair or whatever. Not convinced.
Yeah, I've seen examples of fairness in my house. I've seen like Ralph and little Lenny. This was a while ago, so Lenny must have been about 7 or 8 months. and they'll drink out the same bowl. And one time, as Ralph was drinking the bowl of water, the pair of them having a sip, and the obviously the quantity of the water's going down, Ralph went, and Lenny backed away and he finished the water off.
Mm.
So fills the bowl back up. And Lenny jumped in to have a drink, but Ralph decides, I want to have another drink. So as Ralph went in to have a drink, Lenny just walked away, left them, and then finished his drink. When Ralph had left it, there's no fairness going on there. It's, well, I acknowledge this is getting maybe a little bit lower. I'm sending you on your way, on your merry way, while I finish it off for myself.
I mean, the other thing that I've registered on this study is that this was about choice. They didn't actually have to do anything to get the reward, and whether or not that might feed into the fairness equation too. Who knows?
This week's show is sponsored by Whimsies by Wellness. A good dental chew should be a win-win. Your dog gets a treat they can take off to a corner and chew on, and you get a significant improvement in their breath and all-round oral health. The unique shape of the hedgehog, alligator and toothbrush chews helps clean between teeth and prevent the build-up of plaque and tartar. Look out for Whimsies at pet stores or order online by clicking the link in the description.
I wondered whether a dog's sense of fairness is actually driven by social factors. In the study that I found, there were 16 Labradors and they were all trained to exchange a token for a food reward. The experimenter would toss it into an enclosure and the dogs had to go and retrieve it, and then a piece of dried food would be put in their bowl. Now, pairs of dogs were tested on their own and together, and there was a fence separating them so they couldn't steal each other's rewards, but they could see them. They also gave some of the dogs oxytocin, which is involved in cooperative and social behaviours, and so it might make the dogs more sensitive to fairness. They found that when another dog was rewarded, but they weren't, the dogs would retrieve the token less often. When they were tested on their own, they tried a bit more than when they could see another dog unfairly getting more than them. When they were given oxytocin, it seemed to make the dogs care less about being treated unfairly, and they'd carry on retrieving the token more than dogs that had a placebo. So in this study, the dogs were sensitive to being treated unfairly, especially when they had to work for something. And oxytocin changed the way that they responded. And that suggests their sense of fairness was indeed driven by social factors.
I'm going to criticise. I feel like if I was to set that up, I'd see that, but for different reasons. I feel like the dog, if the two dogs are motivated because the token equals reward, then they're gonna stare at the other dog being rewarded rather than compete the behaviour, because that is a more arousing thing to take in. Your dog's gobbling a load of biscuits than getting the token. I think it's a big feat to ask the dog to ignore that and collect the token and get yours. I think a lot of them would.
But the oxytocin was the bit that really interested me in this. We know that you've got oxytocin receptors in brain areas that are involved in emotional and social processing. And just the fact that the dog started to react differently, they responded differently when they had oxytocin, meant that it was changing their sensitivity. So there was definitely some kind of social element that seemed to be involved in that. And that bit really blew my mind. But then the other thing that I thought of is whether or not the oxytocin could have been reducing their sense of frustration.
This is what I was just going to ask you. Could oxytocin bring that level of arousal down?
Potentially.
Yeah. So now you're back in the room.
Not necessarily the arousal, but it would make them less frustrated.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing. Frustration builds drive. Yeah. Drive builds whatever you're going to do with the dog. It adds to the task, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of like how I'm thinking there.
Why would dogs try less, though, when they could see another dog getting more than them?
Because they'd fixate. They'd fixate on what's going on. So if I've got two hungry Labradors, both of them will run out and get the same reward, that's fine, and we play the game again.
Yeah.
But if we change the game and one of them's now eating food, they're not running out anymore. They're consuming something. So that dog might well fixate on that. Mm. If I could play that game of fetch with Logan for, say, a ball, but a bite wedge has much more value. So if I had the same cage, a line down the middle, threw the ball for Logan, that's fine. But if I threw the bite wedge, I highly doubt he'd be interested in the ball. He'd just salivate and look at the bite wedge because it means much more to him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But then if the dog is looking at another dog that's getting something, but they're not, why would that seem to make them give up quicker?
I don't think they're giving up. I just don't think the task is clear to them anymore because they're consumed with what's going on around them. It's very hard to follow and keep a solid picture.
In my mind, so the picture that I'm forming of this is, so let's say that we've got two corridors mm-hmm. where a dog is being sent out on each one to retrieve a toy. And when it comes back on the corridor, food is placed into a bowl and we have a, let's say, clear perspex
thing between us.
Right. Yeah. So what I would like to see is that. And then the second time, I would like to see that the only part of the perspex barrier that's clear is the part where the food bowl is, but the actual running out and back is opaque or blocked. And then I'd like to shift that so that you can see the dog running out and back, but the actual food bowl is blocked, to be able to determine how much of an influence the actual dog eating or not eating the food is having on the behaviour of this dog, rather than my interpretation of, this one's eating and this one's doing, so this. That's
such a clearer way of explaining what I was just getting at, like, that, like trying to eradicate the dog being able to fixate on another dog eating.
Then by its very nature, because it's looking at another dog getting something different, and that's changing the way that it's responding, by its very nature, then surely there is some social basis to that. And I think for me, the two bits are the oxytocin and also the difference between the way that an individual dog would carry on trying more when it was on its own rather than when it would see another dog. However, both of those could kind of be explained by frustration, potentially. So there is that possibility. But there was certainly something there that seemed to indicate that the presence of another dog, the social aspect, was causing a difference in behaviour. So yeah, it's interesting. Do dogs really think fairly?
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either.
I'm on the fence. I think they might. I think there might be something in there.
Enjoy your fence.
Yeah. Right, let's go on to listener questions. That might induce some oxytocin.
Question one is Turner from Ugly in Essex. My dog really doesn't like sharing. I've got a 3-year-old Irish Terrier called Gary and a 7-year-old nice.
Gary.
And a 7-year-old dog de Bordeaux called Hooch.
Hang on. It's Turner and Hooch.
No, it's got to be, hasn't it? Oh, yeah,
of course.
Oh,
they got Hooch first, yeah.
I love that. It's a dog de Bordeaux. And seven, yeah, I love that film.
Whenever Gary has a toy and someone comes near him, he starts to growl. Like he doesn't want anyone to take it off him. He's really friendly the rest of the time. Is there anything I can do?
There's lots you can do, but nothing that anyone who's ethical would advise online or on a show. That's a resource garden behaviour, and more often than not, in fact, a lot more often than not, it'll only get worse. So that needs addressing straight away, I would say.
Would it be sensible for Gary to stop leaving toys around the place?
It's management protocol until you work him with someone, isn't it, Jay? You just don't leave any. Well, not just management as well. The less the dog actually does it, the less it's going to be instilled. The dog's not practicing the behaviour. But straight away, if there's any resource garden, your first thing is you're not having that thing that you resource garden. We have to work with that. And your dog's not doing it because they're nasty and aggressive. They're doing it because they're a dog. They see that as valuable, and they perceive that someone might take that valuable item off them. Think of it like if you're in town and someone comes over and says, give me your mobile phone. How you feel at that moment in time is kind of like what your dog's feeling. It's not an acceptable behavior. It's definitely unsafe, but it's not abnormal. It's normal for a dog to be like that. Resource behavior is, resource garden is a normal behavior in dogs. It's just not acceptable in a human household.
Question two. Lewis from Butt of Lewis and the Hebrides in Scotland. I have a Great Dane called Schmeichel, which is ironic because I support QPR. I don't follow football at all, so it's lost on me, Lewis. I'm sorry. Anyway, every time I pick up his poo, some escapes the bag and I get my fingers in it.
Oh, no.
There just doesn't seem to be enough bag. Either way, it's just not fair and it's getting embarrassing. Can you recommend a fix for this?
Marigolds, and I can recommend do not bite your nails.
Yeah.
Do not bite your nails. There's nothing worse than a shitty finger.
We've got some wonderful dog scholar poo bags, though.
Oh, yeah. Get yourself a dog scholar poo bag.
Yeah, they're quite big. Yeah. Maybe it's a poo bag size thing. Maybe he just needs bigger poo bags.
Or maybe it's a dog size thing.
Oh.
Need a dog with smaller
I do love that it's a Great Dane called Schmeichel.
That's a lot of shit coming from a Great Dane, isn't it? That's like cow pats, that. It's like cow pats, yeah. You need a shovel and a bin. I like that one, though.
Amazing. Thank you, Lewis. Great questions. If people have got more questions, Jay, what can they do?
On social media, you can find us if you tap in at Dog Scholar Podcast, or you can email podcast@thedogscholar.com.
That's all we've got time for this week, but if you enjoyed this episode, please do share it with a friend. And if they don't like it, maybe their dogs will.
And Danny, it wouldn't be fair not to come over to you for the final thought.
So to summarise, I think we're a bit divided here, aren't we, guys? So it might be something to look into in the future.
I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, well, all's fair in love and poor.
You're onto something.
I've got that again.
See you next week.